What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 20th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pure one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. I'm feeling good today, Greg.
Woo-hoo!
Feeling like a good day for video games. You're here in this burnt orange shirt.
Yeah, from stitchfix.com/Greg. Again, they didn't sponsor this. I'm just saying I used it, and now I use it. I got these cool pants.
I use it
too.
Now. I use it.
I got these cool pants. Well, you know what I mean. They gave us the trial. I tried it. I was like, that's cool. And I kept using it. Here I am. You're looking good in this shirt.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Did you play a lot of games this weekend?
I played a lot of Mario Odyssey. I've been kind of off of Mario Odyssey for a little bit just because I'm like, I don't want it to end. And I'm looking forward to...
What's your moon count at right now, roughly?
I'm only at like 350.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
it's... So you're long playing.
It's And because I'm looking at it and I'm like, we don't know what the Switch has coming for us in the next... The next year, hopefully January, we'll have a direct to let us know. But I'm just like, I do know that I have a couple trips lined up. So I'm just like, I don't want to waste all my airplane.
I hear you.
Moon grabbing.
Of course.
But I also felt like I put enough time into it. But this weekend, I was like, you know what? I'm itching. I need to get back in there.
Yeah, get your fix.
Get my new donk fix. So I played a bit more. And man, it's a special game.
Have you projected the long jump yet? Like, you know, the dive, mid-air dive. We were talking about this the other day.
So I'm a step towards it.
Okay.
I can't do the chain where I can't just go forever with it.
Yeah.
But I'm good enough to like, there's some challenges that require.
Yeah, of course. That's what I was running into on my flight back.
That's where I'm at now. So yeah, I love the game so much because I feel like every time I get to a moon that I'm like, this is giving me a little too much shit right now. I don't want to deal with it. I can just pop over and do something else and immediately get distracted by a million other things.
Yeah.
Not to go down this rabbit hole too much, but one last thing I want to say. I love Mario Odyssey for so many reasons, but the one that I love it for the most is how much it makes me want to explore every single level and know every single nook and cranny and move the camera to see if there's anything hidden and collect everything and know the levels inside and out in a way that I haven't felt since Mario 64. No game has ever made me feel like I want to live in the world and understand every aspect of it as much as Odyssey has. And that's I never thought I'd have that again.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Like, you know, why I love this game, why I think it's at the top of my game of the year thing. We have to sit down and do votes soon. It's just the fact that, coming back from LA, coming back for or going to Maryland, playing that game, like, it is, like, I love it when I run into a challenge that is super difficult and it's taking me the 30 tries and I can see it's like 45 minutes of just trying to get this goddamn moon and then get out of there. It's awesome.
And another thing that I was concerned about as I was playing is like, when I played through the main game, it wasn't that challenging, but then the post game is very challenging. Yeah. I love it. But just how every life takes 10 coins. I was like, what happens when you like get zero?
Yeah.
Nothing. You just keep,
you hit zero.
I have hit zero because then I've been spending a lot.
Sure. I'm saving up for I want my bone suit.
Yeah. I'm sure you
9,
do.
9, 9, 9, 9. Yeah. Dry bones.
No, but I've been buying a lot of shit left and right. And, so when it did hit zero, it's just kind of like, then you just have zero coins.
Oh, nice.
No game over screen.
All right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. That's the video game news siren right now.
They're fucking stoked.
They are stoked for this short week. Only two episodes this week, Monday and Tuesday. Then it's Thanksgiving break here in the United States. We will have to leave you until the following Monday. Remember, if you want to watch the show, you can catch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you want to be part of the show, you need to write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, and concerns. If you want to be live and have a job like Capitalist Pig does, you can correct us at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Go there. Tell us the facts we screwed up as we record the show so we can set the record straight for everybody listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thanks for supporting it. Please subscribe, like, share with your friends. Have a good time. Maybe chipping over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Right now, on both those channels, there's exclusive content up. On Kind of Funny, you can get... No, that's not correct anymore, actually. Cooking with Greggy Leftovers is up on youtube.com/kindoffunny. If you go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get my Andy Serkis interview a full day now before it goes live for everybody tomorrow. Remember, it's time. Bring out your phones, your mobile devices, whatever, if you have your computer. Go on Google, search Trending Gamer Vote, then click on Andrea. Then click on Submit Vote. Andrea Renee is nominated for Trending Gamer in this year's Game Awards. And we love her very much as a co-host of this and, of course, on What's Good Games. Please go vote for her. Let's try to win this for her. And then also, for the first time ever, I want to tell you, this show is brought to you by Lisa.com/kindoffunny. I'll tell you all about them later in the show. Don't worry about that. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. The Roper Report. Jesus Christ, Kevin. Already on vacation? Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report. Oh, we put a little.
I liked
on that,
that one. I actually really liked that one. You redeemed it entirely. Right, cool. But I love that Kevin was standing there and you said it and he was just like chilling out, but then he realized it was his job and he freaked out.
Yeah. Cool Greg knows. Cool Greg knows. Four items on the Roper Report, most of them pretty straightforward, which I like. We haven't had that in a while, right? As we settle down from Battlefront microtransaction gate. First off, let's give a shout out to CD Projekt Red, of course, makers of The Witcher, working on Cyberpunk. Over on Twitter, someone tweeted at them and said, CD Projekt are considering games as a service for Cyberpunk 2077 as part of their drive to make it more commercially significant. That was in quotes. CD Projekt Red then responded on Twitter, "Worry not. When thinking about CP 2077, think nothing less than The Witcher 3. Huge single player, open world, story-driven RPG. No hidden catch, you get what you pay for. No bullshit, just honest gaming like with the Wild Hunt. We leave greed to others."
Get fucked, son.
Throwing fucking shit. Damn. There.
Like this is like unheard of. As far as I can remember.
What, a publisher?
A publisher's talking this type of shit about other publishers and developers.
Yeah.
Like, that's, and it's awesome, too, because this... Talk shit gets shot, we often say. Like, you should be nice to people and stuff. However, all this is saying is like, yo, single-player games are dead? Fuck you, no, they're not. Yeah. We do it better than anyone else, and we're going to continue doing it better than anyone else, and get this shit out of here. Don't be starting bullshit rumors about us.
This is shade at a movement. I don't even see it. I mean, clearly EA is the one who's in the target lately, but I mean, it's EA, it's Activision, it's every big publisher who put microtransactions in their games or, you know, loot boxes in a bad way this year, which is what we've said. This year has been everything coming together, that this is the battlefield for what's going on and how you're going to handle microtransactions, loot crates. So yeah, I don't take it as like them taking shots at anyone in particular as much as this movement of like, no, fuck that. Don't put this games of service shit on us. We are huge single player, open world, story driven RPG. No hidden catch. You get what you pay for. No bullshit. Just honest gaming. Like with Wild Hunt, we leave greed to others.
And I think that's where the importance lies of this. It's less the fuck you, and I think it's more of the like, yo, we're fucking awesome.
We're us,
and we're us, and we're going to continue to be us. This makes me so much more excited for Cyberpunk than I already was just finding out what this game is, which are absolutely not for me, both from a gameplay perspective and from a
perspective. The
fantasy stuff. Like, I'm not drawn to that at all, right?
Yeah.
But in the last couple of years, like games like Horizon and Zelda, I'm like, you know what? I do like aspects of open world games. So I'm not totally just going to be like, nah, I'm not going to play that. Cyberpunk definitely sounds like something up my alley. And hearing this, I'm like, fuck yeah, man.
Well, this is how you do, and I don't want to put it in a negative sense because I know so many people are attached to this, including when we had Albert on, right? This is how you do marketing and PR correctly. In the way of the narrative for CD Projekt Red since The Witcher 3, when they really came out on a grand stage, has been we make games for gamers. We are doing this for art. We are doing this for our community. We're not nickel and diming you. There's a thank you letter in the box when you buy Witcher 3. The DLC is a lot of the DLC is free than the expansions that are as big, if not bigger, than the original game or giving you that many hours. It's easy for that. I mean, that has given them so much goodwill and put them on such another stratosphere. And I think when people heard about Cyberpunk, they were like, yeah, of course, it's from The Witcher guys. Of course, it's from this great developer. For them to really have nothing to say about this game right now, and they have come out and said, hey, we're working on it. They put out a response that was proactive to that glass door stuff of like, hey, it sucks to work here. And they're like, hey, a lot of the changes, the game's still on track, blah, 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 blah. They continue to be the developer that offers no lip service, right? They're talking to you. They're telling you what's happening. They're going to say bullshit in their tweet and they're going to be out there, not in an aggressive, hey, fuck everybody else way, but in a way of like, no, we have a vision. This is what it is and we're going to stick by it. And I think when you don't have something to say about your game necessarily, that's a great way to come out and stomp those rumors into the ground before 100%. It gets any further. Now, on the other side of that conversation, let's jump over to talk about Battlefront 2, not about the actual transactions and stuff themselves, but about the fact that it didn't do great in the UK. This is via gamesindustry.biz. Star Wars Star Wars Battlefront 2's week one boxed sales in the UK were significantly lower than expected. UK retailers told GamesIndustry.biz last month that the new Star Wars game will sell more than Battlefield 1. However, first week sales are more than 50% down compared with last year's shooter. The boxed sales figures are also down 61% compared with 2015's Star Wars Battlefront. Article goes on to be talking a little bit about the fact of like, well, this of course doesn't count digital, but there's no way it's making up that number to that extent.
Yeah. I mean, so the interesting thing there is you're right. It doesn't count digital. And that's as every year goes on, more and more of the pie is taken up by digital sales. But these numbers that they're talking about are retail specific.
Yeah.
So it's down physically compared to physical sales as well. So there is still a
apples to apples, in a
apples to apples thing here.
Sure. Yeah. The one argument, if you wanted to, and not that I'm making it, but is the fact that I think digital grows every year. So it's a little bit different, but it is still very much the same.
But I mean, still, like if UK retailers told them that this was going to happen,
sure.
Like, that is last month that they're saying that.
Exactly.
So
hard to read the tea leaves, especially last month before all of this blew up in everybody's face. Jared the Bank Guard writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey guys! Last Friday after the show, IGN put up a story that stated the reason EA pulled microtransactions might have been because of concerns from Bob Iger, Disney's CEO. This might not seem like much of a story, but it shows that the heads at Disney might be concerned with the state of Star Wars brand in the hands of EA. It's understandable. The two major games they've published, Battlefronts 1 and 2, both released with swirls of controversy. Additionally, Visceral's game sparked its own huge wave of huge controversy with its cancelization, and we've barely heard a peep about the state of Respawn's game. Well, they bought them, but sure. Disney could easily be concerned with both the lack of progress that EA has made, as well as the damage to the Star Wars brand, especially in the gaming space, that they've caused. So here are my two questions. Do you think it's at all possible that EA could lose their exclusive deal to publish Star Wars games? And if that's a bit too far, do you think Disney will continue their deal with EA after the 10 years are up? Thanks for everything you do, Jared." Very interesting. I saw this one starting to get kicked around after this IGN story of, the CEO of Disney being involved with it. Up until that really came up, I would have been like, no, of course not. But then putting that out there, you're like, oh man, yeah, I guess Disney is not stupid. Yeah. Disney, more than anybody, understands what they have with Star Wars and how to make it right. You see them destroying it in movies, right? Just crushing it. Everybody's happy with it.
TV shows as well.
Exactly. Yeah, with Rebels, right? It does get interesting to see. To my knowledge, the contract is not public, obviously, for this EA deal on what they have with Star Wars. I wonder what is in there and what are the ways Disney could get out of it.
I mean, it's interesting. My gut tells me that there's no way they're going to cut it early, that at the very least, it would have to wait the 10 years. 10 years will go by in a fucking blink of an eye.
Of course.
When you think about it, they've already started. There's been the 2 years before Battlefront 1 came out and then 2 years until Battlefront 2 came out as they keep going forward from there. I think that the games are, like, there is a lot of controversy and Disney doesn't want to be involved with that, obviously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, these games, despite the news story we just read, I guarantee Battlefront 2 is going to sell gangbusters. And there was going to be a lot of money made from the franchise to Disney to everybody involved. I don't really see this being them having any real case to want to back out. I'm sure that there's so much money involved in the exclusivity deal that in order to find a loophole to back out, they would have to have a real plan going forward, and I don't know what that would look like, because I do think that there is power in Disney and Star Wars partnering with an exclusive partner.
Yeah.
And like, who else would they go to? Bethesda? Nah. Ubisoft? I think they'd be the most likely. But even that, like, I just feel like Ubisoft isn't in the right position to take on something of that caliber. Maybe they will be in a couple years, but I don't know. There's too many moving parts here, and there's too much money being made.
Yeah.
And despite the microtransaction bullshit, despite the campaign not really being good, despite a lot of things, Battlefront 2 is still a good game. Like, there's still something there. It's not like it's a horrendous, atrocious piece of shit.
Sure. But you recommend people don't play it, right?
I don't recommend it. Well, that's my thing is, like, there are people that I'd recommend play it. Like, I wouldn't recommend you play it. Like I said, I would recommend Nick playing it because it's not that bad. It's just kind of underwhelming from a campaign perspective. But the game is gorgeous and very authentically Star Wars, where it is fun playing multiplayer. I played a little bit of multiplayer this weekend and I was like, when I'm not worrying about all the progression systems and stuff, it's a fun game. And it feels like you're in the Star Wars worlds, and that alone, I'm like, wow, cool. I'm good with this. Is it worth $60? Not necessarily, yeah. But to some people, maybe.
This is the normal thing where I always go back to, I don't have a business degree, and obviously operate in one side of the video games industry and not the other. I know the contracts we sign when we partner with stuff or with people, right, have promises in them of what projections of what we'll hit on, whether it be views or subs or some weird thing, depending on what the deal is, right? I wonder what the deal in here and I've never written a 10-year exclusive agreement for a franchise or for an IP, I should say. I don't know what your milestones you need to be hitting are. And if it's sales of Battlefront, if it's Metacritic, if it's profits margins, if it's releasing a game, because that is the thing of Visceral getting blinked out, of course, looks bad for Visceral, but it looks bad to EA, who, you know, or it looks bad to the Star Wars people that, you know, that EA yeah. has this exclusivity and they can't get it out. And to your thing of, I don't know what your plan would be, blah, blah, blah. I would think your plan would be to an extent, I guess that's what gets complicated with Star Wars. I think your plan would be of pulling out and then doing the Marvel thing. Of not partnering with one person, but okay, Bethesda, you know single player games, you know first person shooters, and you know how to tell a narrative there, whether it be Prey or Wolfenstein, or and not first person shooter, but Evil Within. Like, we're going to give you the Boba Fett game, and you're going to tell a story there, and then we're going to go to so on and so forth. Yeah, Crystal yeah. Dynamics, you make the third one.
Capcom makes the fighting game.
Yeah, exactly. But then I guess the problem would be trying to keep the lore straight. With it all being in-house EA, it's easy for Motive at the time to talk to Visceral, to talk to Respawn and make sure no one's on the same planet or doing the same thing, or that the characters all crisscross and do the right thing.
I mean, that what you're saying is a dream scenario for me.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like it's going to get the best Star Wars games out there. I just think, yeah, with what you're talking about keeping everything straight, like with how modern Star Wars is working in terms of canon is very important.
Of course.
And a level of quality to that canon is required. And regardless of the campaign being underwhelming, things happen that mean something in the overall story, and the characters introduced, they all make sense and nothing really contradicts everything else. And I think that that is very key and important to them.
Yeah.
And when you see their comics, like being in Marvel and everything's very compartmentalized of they handle this and everyone talks to each other.
Yeah.
So I just don't see a future where they change that. But like I said, like Ubisoft would be the next best thing. But then with all the Vivendi conversations, like, I just don't think that they're in a position to
Vivendi can't do it for the next 6 months. They've said they've backed off.
Well, 6 months. I'm talking about looking at the next couple of years. So going back to what you're talking about with the contracts and what's promised and stuff, I guarantee there's nothing in the contract that's like, you can't start controversy.
No, of course. Well, I mean, but there's got to be something of tarnishing.
Defamation and things like that, for sure. I don't think that what just happened with the microtransaction stuff, or there not being enough content in Battlefront 1, I don't think that there's any wording you can have in a contract that would allow Disney to be like, for other reasons, definitely.
Sure.
I'm sure, like, this the rumors of Bob Iger getting involved doesn't surprise me, but I feel like that's less of a contract thing and less of, oh, you are fucking up the contract in this way or that way.
I think
it's more just like, hey, we, at the end of the day, do control this, and here's what we need to change.
Yeah, it's a fascinating argument, and I'll be interested to see where it nets out, especially, what is going to happen with Respawn's game now? Where are we at with that Star Wars game, and will that make Disney happy? Will it make fans happy? You wonder on some level if... It's weird because you're talking about Disney, and you're also talking about Star Wars, and I feel like the Star Wars brand is like, everybody loves it, it's infallible to an extent, right? Disney is the one that... They make mistakes and they make things, and it's this giant corporation people think of. And then to be partnered with another giant corporation in EA, and one that has had a bad reputation for a long time and did itself no favors in 2017 as it fucked itself up at every corner, I wonder what the internal reception at Star Wars /Disney is about what's happening here. It's going to be interesting to watch, and if anything changes.
Again, though, money talks.
Yeah.
And even with these numbers being down in the UK physically, we'll see where it nets out on NPD and going forward. I can't imagine that even with all of the controversy of the microtransactions, that Battlefront 2 doesn't make an asinine amount of money.
It'll make a lot of money. I wonder if it'll clear its costs and all that jazz, though, too. And will it do better than Battlefront 1? And then in the same breath, how do you weigh in the failing of Visceral and taking that out, that not having that game, that pillar? Because you assume Star Wars license got a lot of people made pitches for it. And I imagine if you're a Ubisoft, you're sitting there going, man, we would have had two games out by now that would have been awesome. And we want to be open world and yada, yada, yada. We'll see. Speaking of Ubisoft, Greg Way, number three on the Roper Report. Mario plus Rabbids has had a DLC leak, apparently. This is via Reset Era, who screenshotted a thing off the eShop for the gold edition of Mario plus Rabbids. Talking about this, there's going to be an exclusive world featuring a new hero coming in early 2018, 8 new solo challenges and 5 co-op maps, and 16 new weapons. So if you've been hankering for some Mario plus Rabbids content, there you go. Have you been hankering for it?
So this is interesting, because I remember when Mario plus Rabbids first came out, I really loved it and enjoyed the hell out of it. And I was like, oh man, I love that we're going to get DLC coming down the line, and I'm going to want to pop back in. Hearing this, I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't really need to pop back in. But I also feel like I'm in the Mario Odyssey like hype right now.
Right.
That well, early next year, maybe that will be true. I'm excited that the Switch seems to be setting a precedent of we're going to have this game and then there will be the DLC coming out at the right times when I want to play it. Hopefully, I mean, they still haven't announced Mario Odyssey DLC. I'm expecting them to, and it would be great. But yeah, Champions Ballad supposedly still 2017.
Yeah. December, so, right? That was where they got moved to on the eShop little newsletter. Yeah, I'm in the same boat of like, I feel like Mario plus Rabbids came along just when I needed it, something to play on my Switch for a little bit. And then now there's bigger games there. But like you're saying, when we get to January and I'm, you know, starting to want to move away from Mario, maybe, which I don't know if it's 100% correct, but maybe.
I mean, we just don't know, man. Like, 2018 is a big question mark for the Switch right now. And I guarantee that that is not an issue. That is a plan.
We'll see. And then number four, Minecraft has delayed its graphics and Switch crossplay update. This is via IGN. The super duper graphics pack and Switch crossplay for Minecraft has been delayed until 2018. The super duper graphics pack was announced in June. It's an optional piece of DLC that adds better lighting, textures, and more to the base Minecraft game. Sadly, during Minecon Earth, Mojang. I'm sorry, old habits die hard. Mojang announced that there's a lot of work to be done still on the pack, and its release has been pushed back from this year to an unspecified date in 2018. The company also revealed that cross-platform multiplayer for the Switch version of the game has also been delayed until 2018. Make it right, make it work. Mm-hmm. Good enough for me. Tim.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to one day play Switch Minecraft and play it on the Xbox One Minecraft my cousin hit up his iPad and play it there, and then another guy with HoloLens and then somebody doing it on a little pedometer. But that seems to be quite a ways off. If I wanted to know what came to the mom and grop digital shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software released across
each
and every
platform.
As
listed
by Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Almost. You missed a That's it, though. Out today. First off, I put a note in here. Remember that the Uncharted PSN theme bundle is up for free right now on PSN. Go get that.
Looking pretty cool.
Yeah, they got the Uncharted 10th anniversary. Then they got themes for Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 4. Battle Chef Brigade is on Switch. Lumo is on Switch. And that's it. New dates for you, though. Fuck yeah, motherfucker! Animal Crossing. Pocket Camp is out fucking Wednesday, November 22nd, worldwide. Mr. Worldwide Tom Nook. I can't fucking wait.
Today I saw... this is totally irrelevant.
Okay.
I saw a tweet from Barbara Dunkelman.
Yeah, I know her.
Quoting Bethany Feinstein saying that squirrels are just rats that dress nicer. And I really enjoy that. That's true. It just feels like Animal Crossing appropriate. I've always missed out on the Animal Crossing boat, Greg. I don't understand it. Totally seems weird. Like, I've never been a Sims guy. Mm-hmm. Something about just like, I'm just going to like live a life in a video game. I'm like, I'm not good at living life, period. Like, I don't really need another shot.
Well, the thing about it is you pimp out your house here, but you don't have to spend real money. You're spending bells. Now, I guess you could spend real money.
Oh, man, microtransactions ruining everything. But do you think that this game is going to be a good entry into the franchise if I've never really committed? I've never played more than 20 minutes.
I'm basing this off the Nintendo Direct. So, I mean, I know that the Australian version's out there. That was too many hoops for me to jump through. I just want to play the real version when it comes. It's coming Wednesday. I'm excited. From what I've seen, because it seems like it's a more dialed-in Animal Crossing experience. It's not as diverse or complex, not that these games were ever super, but I think the fact that they're making an Animal Crossing game and putting it on a device that, you know, maybe Animal Crossing has always been meant to be played in 15, 20 minute chunks or whatever, or even less, I feel like that's perfect for the phone. I really feel like this is going to be on my ride to work, right? I'm in the back of the car and I do a couple things and then
like daily challenges, I imagine. Yeah. Just things where like every time you turn it on, you get something. Like that seems great for what I imagine that style of gameplay to be. What does this do for the inevitable Switch version? Like, do you think that they work together? Is it a full, like, I just don't, this seems like where Animal Crossing belongs.
I agree, and which makes me incredibly worried about a Switch version ever. Like, my argument would be, if this comes out and this is awesome, do we need a Switch version? And I know that's sacrilege, because I love my Switch, but again, this is with me at all times. All times. My Switch is in my bag or whatever, you know, locked away. This is literally like, we're on the way to lunch, and I'm just going to go get some cherries or whatever, or I want to move my house around, or my campsite, or whatever the hell it's called this time around. Like, I feel like this is such a, when they announced the idea that they were bringing Animal Crossing Mobile, I was like, all right, I'll check it out, whatever. And then when that direct popped and I looked at footage and I read it all about it, I'm like, fuck, this sounds like the perfect way to play Animal Crossing, which is why my hopes got high and then I started trying to dial them down. And then Grimecraft got the Australian version, has been playing, and he's like, it's amazing, it's great, it's awesome. It totally, and like, even with, like, you know, microtransactions, of course, which are vilified so much here, the people who have been playing the Australian versions are saying, like, you know, you get, what are they, golden leaf tickets, I think is what they're called. You get a lot of them. I haven't needed to spend money on it. I haven't felt like it. But even if it is, like, all right, cool, like, I want you to build me this new bed, whatever fucking animal that builds beds. And he says, oh, all right, cool, it's going to take 3 hours in a game. Like, right, if I was playing Destiny and I was like, cool, I want to get this shader, and the guy, and, you know, Eververse is like, oh, Tess is like, oh, it's going to be 3 hours. I'd be like, fuck you. God damn. All right, fine. And I run around, do other stuff, and play what I was going to play. But, like, that's me making dedicated time to sit there and do something. Here, where it's like, all right, it's going to be good in 2 hours, I'm like, oh, I won't be able to check in for another five. Yeah. Anything I do in the morning, I'm not going to be able to check in on until 1:30 at earliest, but I have other shit to do when this show ends. Like, it seems like it's going to be the perfect fit of, like, all right, cool. Oh, we're killing time till Game Over Greggy show. Da-da-da, do this.
Exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested. Maybe it'll all blow up my face and it won't be awesome, but I'm stoked. I'm glad we finally have a date. It worked out the way we talked about last week, where it was like, time's running out. They're going to have to just fucking announce it and put it out. And they did. Good. Boom. There's a new World of Final Fantasy game announced too. This is World of Final Fantasy Melly Mellow for iOS and Android. It'll launch in Japan in 2017.
I don't even
know
what
that's
a reference to. It's weird.
I don't either, so we'll just push past it to the biggest fucking news of the week so far, and I can't imagine news getting bigger than this. Valkyria Chronicles 4 is fucking real. It's coming to Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One sometime in 2018, and it's set in the real Valkyria universe. Not the Valkyria Revolution or whatever the fuck that one game they just put out was. This is the real deal, the World War setting. Fucking is a new group of characters, but the gameplay we love. Oh my fucking God, Tim. Oh my God, Tim.
I'm happy you're happy.
When I saw this, I freaked out. I was like, I can't believe, I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought this Valkyria Revolution was the nail in the
kill it.
Hey, we're going to go do this fucking thing that isn't what you wanted. Now, yeah. But here we go. We're getting back to the kind of game with that fucking beautiful watercolor art stylings.
Hell yeah.
I can't wait. Neither Ken Riddler, 1988, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg, another host. That's you, Tim. Mm-hmm. So Valkyria Chronicles 4 is finally coming to the Xbox and announced for the Switch. Would it not make more sense for the original to come out now? Don't want tactical RPG overload to get people interested in the world. The last game where I played the second game and not the first was the Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn, and Oof. Some of the story elements went over my head. Love the show, Martin.
Oh man, you missed out on the best Fire Emblem game.
Here's the thing, Martin. I'm kind of with you, kind of not. Of course, this is out on PlayStation 4 right now. I didn't realize. Can you give me a fact check while I talk to see if Valkyria Chronicles Remastered or whatever they call it came to Xbox? I'm guessing not, according to Martin. You could play it on your PlayStation 4. Here's the argument, though. It's on PC as well. Here's the argument, though, Martin. You're right with the overload bit. This is similar to what we're talking about last week about Ni No Kuni, right? You want to... this is a game you want people aching to play. I'm aching to play it, and I played the shit out of Valkyria 1 and 2. Still haven't touched Revolution because I just heard it wasn't good. You want people aching for this, so I say no, don't. Especially considering the fact that they're driving home already in their press materials is that new group of characters, I believe, is in a new part of the world, too. So you don't need to know all about Alicia and all them. You don't need to worry about what's happening with Weston. It's been a while.
It has been on Xbox.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Weston? Welkin. You don't have to tell me about Welkin and Alicia over there. They're people and they're awesome and we love them, but you just get into the gameplay. That's where this game sings, all right? The fucking tactical gameplay is what you need to worry about. It's going to be awesome. What'd you find for me?
Were you asking if Valkyria Revolution was on Xbox One?
I was asking if Valkyria Chronicles Remastered was on Xbox One. Because he's saying he's coming. It's the first time. It's finally coming to Xbox. Would it and for the Switch. Would it make more sense for the original to come out now? I say no, stay away from it. Let this one shine. Let people remember how much I've talked about Valkyria Chronicles, how great Valkyria Chronicles 2 was in the PSP, criminally underplayed by you people.
It does not look like it was on Xbox.
All right, good. Just making sure. Just don't worry about it. If you're that hard up for it, play it on PC. Okay, but I don't think you should overlay. Again, like we're talking about with Ni No Kuni, it's a little flame right now. You need to let it grow. You don't want to go in there and start blowing on it, blow it out, and then nobody cares about Valkyria Chronicles. Everyone, if this game's good, fucking buy this game so we keep getting them. Again, number two was great, but you didn't play it on PSP. We didn't get the fucking third one imported. Don't do this to me again, all right? After three games, you killed Patapon. Don't kill this one. Also, then, in new dates, Ubisoft has announced that Rainbow Six Siege will receive a third year of DLC and additional support. Over the course of 2018, 8 new operators, 2 new maps, and 1 existing map makeover will be added to the shooter. That came from IGN, by the way. Just a little thing. I just stole their text.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Deals of the day.
Let's deal them up.
Comes from Emmett Watkins Jr., who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I have deals of the day info to share. So with Black Friday. So Black Friday, and he puts, and Brown Thursday nowadays, and he was like, one of those
Brown
faces.
Because it's not quite Black Friday.
Okay.
You know, but it's starting early.
So you're saying because it's
deals
bleeding
start
over.
On Thursday, okay. Is what he's saying.
I'm just making sure it wasn't some race thing I was missing. No, it's not. Okay,
shit. No race shit there.
Coming, I just want to shed light on a few of the bigger deals this year. Now, there's a lot of great sales, and he means no way. I'll even get close to listing them all. So I recommend everyone follow at Wario64 on Twitter. Great fucking idea. Mm-hmm. Or check the community spreadsheets that are on Cheap Ass Gamers Black Friday Master Thread. While there are dozens and dozens of games on sale, I'll just focus on hardware and accessories in this post. The PS4 1TB model is $199 at GameStop, Best Buy, and Amazon right now, and other retailers come Thursday. PS4 Pro will be $350 at GameStop as well on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Xbox One S 500GB model will be $189 at pretty much every retailer come Thursday. Xbox Live will be $50 at Target. PS Plus will be $40 at GameStop, Amazon, and Best Buy right now, and will also be $50 at Target come Black Friday. Every PlayStation VR bundle is $100 off at Best Buy, Amazon, and GameStop right now. This makes it $200 at its cheapest. Insane. That's fucking crazy. PS4 controllers will be at $40 at most retailers and are currently that price at Best Buy and GameStop. Xbox One controllers will start at $40 at Best Buy. There's plenty more, but that should cover the basics. Have a That's swell great. Day, y'all. You too, Emmett Watkins Jr.
Get your game on.
Emmett Watkins Jr. His own little segment to come in there. But yeah, Wario64 is a great follow as you go into this. And then, yeah,
absolutely, man.
Stay Kills on cheap it. Ass gamers.
So much great news to find out from that dude. So much just deals coming up from that dude. He's funny. Love him.
We love you, Wario64. Keep it up. For now, let's check in with the readers. But first, I'll tell you that reader mail is brought to you by lisa.com/kindoffunny. Listen, I'm not even looking at the thing because I wrote this myself. You know what sucks? Buying a mattress. How do I know? Because Jen and I went to look at buying a mattress in a retail showroom, and it sucked.
That was dumb.
So, what? I haven't bought a mattress in forever. Mm. And so this guy, you know, there were none of these .com mattress people. There was no lisa.com/kindoffunny when I was over. So I went over there, and the guy talked to me, and then I didn't like, and I laid on a bunch of mattresses, and I felt gross just laying on mattresses.
You're a gross man, I guess.
That's why I ended up buying it off the internet like you should, too.
Joey did.
Joey bought it off.
Lisa.
Joey got a Lisa one, too. We carried it up the stairs for him down to her car at one point, I believe.
I didn't.
You know, Kevin and Cool Greg did. We didn't do it. But they liked it. Lisa Mattress is 100% American-made and delivered compressed in a box to your door. It is thoughtfully crafted with high-quality materials to create what Lisa calls their universal adaptive feel. Its 3 foam layers provide support, pressure relief, and cooling that adapts to all body shapes, sizes, and sleeping styles. No, you don't have to talk to anybody. You get it, you try it for 100 nights. If you don't like it, they'll come get it, or you send it back to them. They'll give you a refund. You get all your money back. As with anything in life, luxury does not come cheap, yet it's something we all desire, especially when it comes to a good night's sleep. The Lisa mattress compares with brands that cost thousands more, but because they don't believe in all those unnecessary extras, Lisa's prices start at just $525. For an extra $100 off, go to www.lisa.com/kindoffunny and enter the promo code kindoffunny, all one word. That's LEESA.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny.
Get your sleep on.
Get your sleep on. You know who could probably use one? Anybody in your life that needs a holiday gift. This is a good holiday gift. Mom needs one. Dad needs one.
A mattress?
Yeah, send them a mattress. It's out of the blue. They wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, you should probably check with them first.
Well, I mean, what?
You got to figure out what size bed they have.
Well, okay.
If they want another mattress.
I'm sure someone listening right now has a mom and dad that have been bitching about their mattress for a while.
It's true.
Let's do this. Be a good son or daughter. Send it over there.
You're right.
Or Or here's what you do. A bunch of you use the code on different computers, make a backyard wrestling ring. Just that is a free
I
idea.
I like
for
that.
You.
It sounds soft and bouncy.
It does. Well, with adaptive sleep styles, you'll be stunning people left and right. Nobody will care. Back to the questions in the show. Javier writes in, of course. Longtime fan of KFGD. He says, hey guys, last year's eye-grabbing news was the problem with No Man's Sky. This year, it was the closing of several studios as well as microtransactions and loot boxes. What do you think developers, publishers, and even the general public of gamers can learn from this moving forward into 2018 so we don't make the same mistakes? Greetings from Florida. P.S. Eric Castro's Game Over Greggy show was fantastic. That's up on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You should give it a listen. Podcast services around the globe, too. What you think the cautionary tale of the loot crate and the microtransaction has is everybody going to pay attention going forward?
I mean, whether it's online passes or season passes or this or that, microtransactions, it's always going to be something.
Yeah.
So have they learned going forward? Yeah, they learned this lesson, but there'll always be another lesson. I think the answer is moving forward, what we can learn and how can we not make the same mistakes is transparency. And we've been seeing a lot of people be more transparent.
Yep.
And I think things like CD Projekt Red getting ahead of the messaging of not letting it turn in. The worst thing that's going to happen to them is that fan tweeted saying, oh, I heard you're going to do games as service. Someone writes a headline, they're doing games as service. And then eventually when they come out, it's like, oh, they pivot and after backlash, they change. You don't want that to be the message. You want the message to be, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're doing it. Here's the status of it. Even EA coming forward and being like, yo, we fucked up and here's where it's at. And I know that is a forced transparency.
Well, no, you're right on the money. It's transparency all around. And it's what we discovered when we left to do Kind of Funny, right? Is the fact that if we talk to our audience like we're human beings, as every company is run by, they treat you like human beings and celebrate your authenticity and your transparency. It's why we celebrate CD Projekt Red, but it's also the same reason you demonize EA. Is because imagine if the messaging here wasn't that Battlefront 2 is an EA game, it is a DICE game. What if DICE had been communicating clearly, straightforward from the get-go? They had a point person that you knew of, and I'm sure, I know there's people give out interviews at DICE, and there's the studio head to put out the statement, but I mean, like, similar to Destiny, like, Deej is the guy, right? And you might say, oh, it's too big of a company. Even Ubisoft, you know that Yves Guillemot is the guy, and he's out there. We'll stop making Assassin's Creed when you stop buying them. Oh, you stop buying them. Don't let us get taken over. Like, there's a person there. There's something to go through. There's somebody to talk to. Whereas if DICE, I would have said, should have owned this from the beginning of, like, here is the spokesperson you're going to see all the time. Here's your Major Nelson. Here's your whoever. Mm-hmm. Here's your Shuhei Yoshida. That's out there talking about the fact of, like, and openly, in a way that even Shu doesn't get to do that much. But be like, all right, cool. We heard y'all in the beta. Here's how we're fixing it. And they put out these statements that got put out through these things. But it still was that, oh, EA's doing all this. These are EA problems. That's what got lost. You lost sight of it. And I think that moving forward, games, development is a multi-million dollar business. There's more, shareholders. There's all these different things. People are going to see the need that they need to be transparent and authentic and tell you from the get-go what's happening. And they know that they're going to be called out on this shit. I think that, what are we going to see? Like, what the messages, the lessons learned will be straightforward, will be clear, be honest with people to the degree you can, and say no when you don't know. That's something we fucked up in the early days, right? Of like, oh, we don't have an answer for that, or we're not ready to say that, so we'll just ignore the question, which makes it seem like we're not listening, which makes it seem like we're bad at what we're doing.
100%.
Don't do that anymore. Mm-mm. And I think you'll see more and more people do that as you go forward. Shane writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg and Tim, how was what I hope was the most epic weekend of gaming. I got a lot of gaming in too. I collected my 999th moon in Mario Odyssey and then decided to download a game from the Xbox Live Black Friday sale. This game was Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Everyone had such good things to say about this game, so I thought I would try it even though shooters aren't really my thing and I never played a Wolfenstein in my life. Man, is this game good. It had a great narrative, mechanics, graphics, weapons, and voice acting. This begs the question, why is this game not nominated for Game of the Year for the Game Awards? My personal top five for Game of the Year are the same as the nominees with the exception of PUBG. I'm waiting to play it on Xbox. After playing Wolfenstein 2, I definitely think it is one of the best games of the year. Andrea always says a game should check all the boxes in the other categories, and Wolfenstein 2 does, and is nominated for many of them. So why was it excluded? Did it get drowned out by the Mario noise? Did keeping on that date do it a disservice? Was it lackluster sales? Please tell me what you guys think. Thanks for being awesome, and happy Thanksgiving, Shane. Happy Thanksgiving, Shane. Tim, why are we not seeing more love?
I think this just comes down to the fact that 2017 has been one of the best years in video game history. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when it comes down to these nominations, like, there can only be so many games up for Game of the Year.
As a reminder, Game of the Year, the nominees for Game of the Year at the Game Awards are Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5, PUBG, Super Mario Odyssey, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Those games that aren't there, like Nier Automata and other things that a lot of people on the internet are clamoring should be there.
Sure.
And this and that. I think Wolfenstein is another one of those games that it's just that not quite. Like, there's not enough people talking about it, not enough people putting it up in that conversation for it to be there. And then you see it here. The Game Awards was voted on by a bunch of different groups. Like, they're not arbitrary decisions.
Yeah.
Like, people voted, and this is how the votes laid out. And I just think that we're very lucky that all those games are fantastic.
Yeah.
And that there's even games not that didn't make the final cut that are so, so high quality and so great. But yeah, I think that's why. I don't think there's not noise. It's just like, who the fuck would have thought that Nintendo has two legitimate Game of the Year contenders in a year?
Yeah.
Like, that is shocking. Who would have thought that an early access game is good enough to be in the Game of the Year conversation? Who would have thought that Guerrilla Games, of all fucking people, would come out with a game in a genre they've never
open
made
world
before
RPG,
that
amazing,
like,
yeah,
blows people's minds? Like, it's a surprising year.
Yeah, no, and I think that's part of it, if not the majority of it, is that 2017 is such a fucking amazing year for video games that amazing games can't make this list of five, and that's how it is. I do think that there was some disservice done to Wolfenstein 2 by the fact that it released later in almost bumping up to what the Game Awards cutoff was, and I forget what it was, but we, you know, put ours in, and it was close, I remember, to the date of Wolfenstein 2 and Mario and Assassin's Creed. And I think that definitely at these outlets, in our outlet including, there's people who play it and know how great it is, but then it's a collective whole of what the outlet is, and I don't think you can sit and look at these games and be like, well, they're not awesome too. Maybe PUBG. I know there's arguments on the show all the time about it. I think that
there's people that are wrong. It's cool.
Hey, I'm with you. I think it should be nominated. I think it just plays into that, and I do think that if you were to get down to brass tacks about it, every hit puts Game of the Year in a different, how are we going to vote for it? For me, it's about enjoying the experience, having a great experience with great games like that. Love Wolfenstein 2. Need to get back to Wolfenstein 2. But the big takeaway for me, right, is like, oh man, this game's fucking hard. And it does not do you any favors. And I've heard that echoed from people here with Andy saying it. And then outside of this, you know, talking on the Bombcast about it. Like, it's not like we're just being babies here and we need to get good. It is like, oh fuck, this game's tough, right? Which for some people is a huge turnoff.
Yeah,
where it is like, oh well, that sucks. When Mario is just pure bliss for me to play, Horizon was, I'm exploring and having such a great time. Even Persona, like, you know, you're moving around. It's a difficult game. You need to figure out like a boss's strategy. But yeah, a light bulb
game of the year is such a ambiguous term, and it's such a weird thing when you think about it. Like, Game Awards Game of the Year means something very different than Kind of Funny's Game of the Year, which means something different than IGN's Game of the Year. And even personally, my Game of the Year, what that means to me, is different than you and going forward. And obviously, as the Facebook group and Reddit will tell you, like, everyone has their own Game of the Year and what that means to them. And it's crazy to me where I look at this, I'm like, how is Cuphead not there? Cuphead totally deserves to be there. But then it's like, I also get it. Like, I understand.
It's a good year, man.
When I look at this list of games, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, like, really, the Game Awards final nominees for what deserved to be Game of the Year, I think, are very representative of the actual real conversation as a whole for the gaming industry. When you look at all the outlets, and if you really boil it down, where, yes, there's going to be the people that love Wolfenstein. Yes, there's going to be people that love Cuphead. Yes, there's going to be the people that love
Nier
Automata. But these five games are the ones that overall get the most votes and have most of the conversation.
Okay. Over on kindoffunny.com/KFGD, Laurier wrote in with a question and says, please reconsider playing Skyrim VR. I'm sorry, this isn't a question at all. These are demands. On the 2nd of November, Greg and Andrea expressed skepticism towards Skyrim VR's mechanics and chances of being a good game. But from the 10 hours I've sunk into it, it's been a dream come true. While most character models do look bad, the vistas and architectures are suddenly mind-blowing in a way they never were close to being before. Every nighttime, I just stare at the stars and planets that dot the sky in amazement before continuing doing whatever I'm doing. I feel like more people should be playing this because it could be the killer app. Sorry for the rambling, love the show, yada, 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 yada. No. Thank you, Laurier, for writing in. Like I said, and I think Andrea said too, like, I played my demo at E3, and it was like, oof. looks rough around the edges. Like you're saying, character models don't look good around the edges, but I can totally get why being in the world like that would be cool and exciting.
I saw an article, I want to say it was on Kotaku, and the headline was, I literally threw up playing Skyrim VR, but that didn't stop me. Ah. It's that good.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
So
I'm glad people are enjoying it to that level. And I mean, for sure, give it a shot. It's just, I think, you know, he says it could be the killer app. Maybe it is, but at this point, right, like Skyrim being on any platform has just become a meme.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I put out a toaster, it'll be on there. And that's fine, and that's great, but it is. It's more Skyrim, which is great, but I put in a whole bunch of hours on Skyrim. Even now that I have Skyrim on Switch, I downloaded it, I was like, great. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm starting this up again, going through and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Skyrim. Everybody try it out. Do your thing. A concerned citizen wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, I hope this finds you well. It does. My question is, will games as services types be lost to history? With the upcoming closure of Marvel Heroes coming at the end of the year, it makes me wonder if this model means entire games will just be gone for good and never be played again. Is this a major flaw with the genre? If rights expire and games like Marvel Ultimate Alliance are pulled from online marketplaces, I can still track them down physically and put them and play them, but that won't be possible for things like Marvel Heroes. Likewise, in 5 years, I could see myself playing through games like Wolfenstein's, but I can't imagine I'll have the same experience I did the first time around with a game like Destiny 2 if I go back for the same duration of time. Also, single player and some multiplayer games are constantly getting re-releases. I could buy and play Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic on my Xbox One right now, but I'll never get to play Star Wars Galaxies. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
The answer's yeah.
Yeah, of course they're going to be lost to history, but I think that's just part of what video games are. One day,
what WoW, they can be.
One day, WoW will be shut down too. But it's also that what you make a good call with Destiny too. Of if you jump on and play Destiny 2 tonight, amazing. If the servers are on in 10 years, it's probably not going to be the same experience and be able to find Guardians and people to team up and play with.
There's just games of service are a style of game that are now a genre alongside other genres in video games and other styles of video games where. You bring up the licensing of things like Marvel Ultimate Alliance and stuff like that. That's always been an issue as well. Like there's so many games lost to time for different reasons. These games are going to be lost to time just because if there's not enough people playing and not enough people paying attention and playing the right way,
yeah,
there's no game there. Yeah. And so I do think that with Marvel Heroes going away and stuff like that, we're going to see a lot of those. And it's always going to be the moment in time where you play, and that moment might last longer for some games and be shorter for others. But yeah, eventually it will be lost to time, but those memories will always be there.
And I think that's an interesting take on it too. In the same way that not in the same way. If you wanted to go back and play the best of the NES or understand why people loved the original Legend of Zelda, it's easy to get your hands on the copy of the game, put it in and play it and see it for yourself. It's not as easy, and this is wishy-washy. Zelda was a bad pick, but stick with me. It's not as easy to find that historical document, to find some kind of explanation, documentation in the moment of when Zelda first was released of like, oh my God, we're all playing it and this is great. One of the games is a service, right? That's going to go away. You're going to, in 20 years, when somebody's like, oh man, Destiny was a huge moment, you're going to be able to go back and listen to podcasts or listen to criticism in the now, watch Let's Plays of it, see it. You'll be able to observe it in a way the same people who were passionate about it in that moment or were playing it and kind of feed off of that. It'll never be as good as playing it, but also as games continue to get broader and broader and broader, you're not going to be able to go back as easily and play the classics like you can now. Even now, it's hard to do when you can do top 100s. I think that for games like Marvel Heroes, let's take, it's going to be lost to history in the way that you can't sit down and play it anymore, but you're going to be able to go back and watch videos and understand it and read articles on Polygon and IGN about how it changed and evolved over the years. So it's not lost in history like no one will understand what that fucking game was. It's just lost in the history of you can't sit down and play it, which I think from the get-go, all these games are designed and understand that's going to be the case one day, which is sad. Like, I'm going to fucking probably cry so hard when DC Universe Online shuts down. I will definitely be there for the last moments flying around the Watchtower.
Good Lord.
But, like, I'm also not compelled to go fucking put another 700 hours into DC Universe Online right now.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that it's always there. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need people to play with. I read it all here. The best friends come and find you. We have an amazing community, and everybody plays. Jared needs help on PlayStation 4. Ugh. His PSN name is E Evolution Gaming. So put an extra E in front of Evolution, and then put gaming at the end and shove it all together. Hello, Greg, and esteemed co-host. I've had a PlayStation 4 for almost 2 years now, but have mainly played single-player games. While Destiny 2 is on sale, I want to pick it up after how much good both Greg and Andrew have talked about it. However, I'm worried with having next to no online friends that my experience will be hindered. I would love some best friends to help me navigate the Destiny world and online gaming. Thank you so much in advance, Evolution Gaming. Hit him up if you want to play some Destiny on PlayStation 4, just like I am. 2 trophies away from platinum.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations. Need to get the Nightfall Prestige. The Prestige Nightfall done. And then I got to do that fucking Trials of the Nine shit online. Fucking PvP. Just let me, you know, I'm done. You know what I mean? Don't let me, whenever I digress, I'll be fine. Tim.
Yes.
It's time for You're Wrong. This is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames write in to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up. So we set the record straight for everybody listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe.
This is one of my favorite segments in any show that we do.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like there's like a fun little interactivity.
Sure.
Level. That I just like, because like I talk out of my ass.
Oh yeah.
So often,
don't we all?
So then when people correct me, I'm like, oh, there you go.
I like it.
Facts. CJS Chris says Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is definitely not a full Animal Crossing game and leaves a lot of room for Switch Edition. It's more like Miitomo with the Animal Crossing skin. I've had it for a while in Australia and it feels a lot lighter than even what I expected from a free mobile game.
Okay.
Put 3 or so hours into it, but even though I love Animal Crossing on 3DS, I trailed off quickly due to far more repetitive interactions with villagers.
Interesting. So there you go. But I wonder what happens when they start updating and patching and doing different things and giving you new seasonal content and adding new villagers and new things. I don't know. I'm just saying I think it has the possibility, based on what I saw and heard of, that it could be awesome.
Final thing, Capitalist Pig says, regarding the cutoff date for the Game Awards, games eligible for the Game Awards this year must be available for public consumption on or before November 17th, 2017. Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, released October 27th. That's it.
Sure. I thought, but November 17th, we voted way before then. That's my thing. We didn't vote on like who won.
You're right.
Our nominations went in way before then.
You're right.
So I'm saying that's a great thing. We need that date, but it's that behind the curtain thing. I want to say it was like a week or two after. Maybe I think it might have even been the week after that. Like it was like it came out on Friday, and then like the next Wednesday we needed to have nominations.
Yeah.
In, which makes sense when you have somebody like Dan Reichert at Giant Bomb being like signing the klaxons. What up, Colin? Like, hey, Super Mario Odyssey's amazing. I got all these scores or all these moons. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it would make sense for the people who reviewed Wolfenstein to be like, it's amazing too. But again, when you get to Game of the Year and it's like, I'm pulling for this game of the year, but I also understand how great those games are. I've been in that situation. I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow's host, Andrew, Renee, and myself, as we give you one final show before Turkey Day here in America. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen on podcast services around the globe. Thank you so much for caring about the show. I hope you have a lovely holiday if you drop off before then. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.